Welcome to See You at the Show. This is Eric Schacht, and I'm here with Linda Evans once again. We have original content this week, which we're excited about because we are exploring theater companies that are continuing to make theater in the pandemic, post-COVID world, and we're lucky to have found one.
Yeah, and I'm super excited about it because it's Shakespeare. I love Shakespeare. So it's a group that's been around for a while, but I don't think we've ever talked to them.
No, we've never talked to them before. I've known some people just over the years that have performed with them. I think Monty has, and some other people that
Emmeline
I've acted with, right?
Been involved, yeah.
And so we're lucky to have with us today two directors who are going to be putting on shows in the coming months, I guess, that have already been auditioned and cast. So we have with us from the What You Will Shakespeare Company, Aaron Sula and Nathaniel Manning. Aaron and Nathaniel, nice to see you on the show. How are you?
Good.
Let's see. You are both directing this year. Tell us a little bit about the What You Will Shakespeare Company, its history, who it's made up of, and what sort of, I know we're in an unusual year this year, but typically what is kind of the structure and annual season like for the group?
We are a student run, completely student run RSO, registered student organization with the University of Illinois. There are about four RSOs that are completely student run theater, and we are the one that focuses on mostly Shakespeare, early modern, and branches out a bit sometimes into Greco-Roman stuff or something like that, but we tend to do more of the historical shows. And we usually put up 2 to 3 shows a semester. This semester, we are putting up 2 shows, even though they're not in person. And so, Nathan, do you want to tell a bit about the shows we've done recently?
This year, we're doing Twelfth Night in Midsummer over Zoom. In past semesters, I think we've done Lear, As You Like It. We put on Dr. Faustus, which is not Shakespeare, Julius Caesar, Tempest, a whole gaggle of Shakespeare shows, usually a couple of comedies and a tragedy every semester.
Nathan, how long have you been involved with the company?
Since my freshman year, so about 3 years now.
Okay. And how about you, Aaron?
Just since last fall, so I'm a master's student in the iSchool, the Library and Information Sciences program. Mm-hmm. And I got involved right away when I got here in fall of 2019 and did all the shows with them last year, even the ones that were canceled, sadly, in the spring. and then I'm still involved, and now I am the artistic director of the company for this school year.
Is there a consistent space that you use for your productions when live theater is happening?
We kind of bop around U of I campus. So we sometimes use local churches. That is something we've done. We use the architecture building, Templehoin Buell Hall. We've used that. Gregory Hall. I'm trying to think of any other ones we've used recently. It's been, through the history of the company, it's all just been kind of in different places. And sometimes directors, depending on availability or cast size, will try to pick something that they think will fit for their show. So it can be different every semester for each show. We had Lear in Gregory Hall. We had As You Like It in the Lutheran Church on Wright Street, right on campus. So
what does it look like for your rehearsals and things like right now? Are you doing all of that over Zoom or?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's laughter. So I guess just as we had some Zoom technological issues just getting this little radio show put up, I imagine that there have been some hurdles with you as well. Let's go back and talk about like auditions. Is that something that you also did over Zoom?
Yes, both processes, yes.
Okay. And so that is, I suppose, that what are the differences between doing auditions by Zoom and doing them in person? What are your kind of like fast takes on that?
So for auditions in person, there's normally not a set time limit for people, but since we had a Zoom call and we needed to get people in and then out and then another person in, it made more sense to schedule it because then you don't have people just sitting on a Zoom call waiting to be admitted. So everyone got a 5-minute time slot instead of however many sides they wanted to read like we normally do.
Yeah.
As directors, do you find it harder to cast over Zoom, or is it?
It was kind of, but it was also, it was difficult, but also we knew the final delivery format would be something that would be on Zoom. So it was something that, like, however everyone was kind of behaving with the boxes and with the camera showed us how they would kind of act throughout the whole process. So it was almost like, It was weird in general, but for what we wanted, we were like, well, we're not going to see them elsewhere. So that just like seeing where they are on Zoom is basically how the audience will see where they are on Zoom as well. So
I guess we might have even kind of jumped a little bit forward from where I thought we'd go, which is that I don't know if either of you has ever directed before in any capacity. Do you, either of you have prior directing experience?
I assistant directed a production of Cymbeline. I think it was my sophomore year. Last semester, I AD'd or co-directed a production of Midsummer that ended up getting canceled due to the pandemic. So that's why it got re-proposed and I'm here now.
What about you, Aaron? What's your directorial experience?
Yeah, I've had like a decent amount, maybe. I have been doing theater pretty intensively since high school, and I assistant directed in high school as well as acted and did some stuff. But when I got to college, I have co-directed 1776, the musical, with a local theater group called St. Genesius Productions in Villa Park, Illinois, up north in the western suburbs. That's like the area I'm from. And it's a theater company that was founded to give kids who went to schools, mostly like Catholic or other religious schools that didn't have theater programs, so that they could put on shows during the year. And we branched out in summer of 2018 into doing some summer shows for older kids as well, for college students or for, you know, early 20s, stuff like that, along with middle school and high school if they were available. I assistant directed the Dr. Faustus with What You Will last semester as well. And then over the summer, I co-directed Midsummer over Zoom with that company. We were going to do a Shakespeare in the Park. COVID did not go away like we were maybe hoping. So we did it mostly over Zoom and then a little bit filmed masked in a nearby park, like at a distance. And so that's kind of what gave me the idea to do a Zoom show this way for this semester. So that was kind of what inspired me to kind of push for us to do that kind of unique experience, and I think it's going well.
So is the way that the What You Will company works such that you proposed that you indicated that you wanted to direct and then proposed the show that you proposed Twelfth Night as the show you wanted to direct?
Yes. So what we usually do is we do a call for proposals to anyone who's on our mailing list. So even if they have directing experience with the other student theaters, they could propose theater groups they could propose. And we usually do that a full semester before towards the end. So we're actually going to be sending out our proposals for next semester, like within the next few weeks. So it's done pretty far in advance. We have a form, you write your kind of vision for it, what you're interested in doing, why you want to do that show. We have about, I think it's like 5 semesters have to pass between doing the same show so that we don't do super repeats. Midsummer is an exception because we didn't get to put it up, which is why we could do it these 2 semesters in a row. But Twelfth Night was available and it's my favorite comedy and I've actually been in it twice before. So I was like, I want to direct it this time. Mm-hmm. So then you propose it and you go to the executive board proposal meeting and they talk to every director about their vision and then the board votes on whether or not that show will go up and figures out the order and all that kind of stuff.
So your directors are always students, but you open up your auditions to the community members, or?
Technically, I think we are open to community members. We just don't tend to get auditions from them. It tends to just be students or sometimes alumni as well.
Midsummer ended up with auditions from a couple of community members. Unfortunately, but also luckily, in a weird, bittersweet kind of way, we had enough students come out that we were able to cast it with a bunch of new people. And since we want to keep What You Will going and keep people interested in the theater community on campus and keep students coming in who want to get onto board and contribute to the company in the next few years that they're here, we ended up casting primarily U of I students for that. So
it's a great opportunity for students, for sure. And it's I think, a great thing that you're open up to the community, because I know our community theaters are open up to students. So it's a nice little quid pro quo that way. We both have been involved primarily in the with the Station Theater here in Champaign, but we've had, our kids have acted, and I've acted at Parkland College. And there's also community theater companies, CUTC and Twin City Theater Company. Are you familiar with any of those? Or does like the word, does community theater kind of permeate into university theater culture at all?
I would say not necessarily, but I know of like alums of RSOs like us who have then gone into them. But I also haven't been in CU for as long as some people, and I only really had the fall before COVID hit. So I'm a little bit like, I feel like I'm a little bit more detached from some of the stuff that I knew would be going up. But, and I also don't have a car, which is a little annoying, because I'd love to be able to zoom around to all of the shows that I heard of. But I knew of a few people who were working in community theater. I just haven't had the luck to see any.
So Nathan, as somebody who's been here a little longer, did any of those acronyms ring a bell to you, like CUTC or TCTC or Station?
I have a couple of friends who have graduated, and I've heard them talk about them a little bit, but I can't say that I've ever engaged enough to have a good knowledge of what's going on in the community outside of campus town, theater-wise.
Yeah, well, I think that highlights to us kind of like a weakness in the community theater groups
We're trying to get the university and Parkland students more involved in the community theater scene. It sounds like you don't just get students that are majoring in theater come and audition. It sounds like there's
no. All sorts of
yeah, that's not great. That's great. Yeah.
I mean, we're two examples.
Right.
Yeah, I was a history major in undergrad, and then now I'm, you know, a library student, and it's also nice because I'm a grad student and they've let me into their fold, even though it's mostly undergrads. Mm-hmm. I'm really like, it's really nice, and I think grad school can be isolating in certain ways, and it's nice to find students that are only a few years younger than me but have a lot of the same interests, and so I feel like we're all on the same page and stuff like that.
And it's nice to have an artistic outlet.
Oh yeah.
Well, let's talk a few show specific things. And Aaron, your show's going up first, is that right, of the two of them?
Yes.
Okay. So what is it that drew you to Twelfth Night?
Oh, man. Okay. So I did mention that I've done it twice, and I played very different roles each time. I was Festy the Fool about 7 years ago, and then I was Duke Orsino in an all-women's production. I went to a women's college, so we did that there, and that was kind of fun. About 2 years ago, so 3 years ago, I don't know. So I always loved it because I loved both the A and the B plots. I think that sometimes that can be either a really big strength or a weakness of the Shakespeare shows, especially the comedies, is that, for example, I think Romeo and Juliet, you know, the A plot is the Romeo and Juliet and everyone knows it, but the B plot of the nurse and the friar and all that stuff, I think in Benvolio and Mercutio, I always found the secondary characters more interesting. Mm-hmm. So what I love about Twelfth Night is I think that the love triangle or quadrangle or whatever it ends up being, that is kind of the central plot, is actually full of a lot of really interesting dynamics and characters. And then the B plot of all of the kind of servants and we keep calling them like the Chaos Crew. That's kind of like our the Goon Squad. We have lots of different like little nicknames for them, the kind of chaotic comedic relief people: Malvolio, the Fool, Sir Toby, Sir Andrew, Mariah, Fabian. They're just like so much fun, and they often steal the show in many ways, but they aren't the only strong part. And so I really was drawn to, I've always loved that it starts out very rigid with Orsino is in love with Olivia, and he's the perfect man and she's the perfect woman. And Viola comes in and is totally in disguise. She's totally androgynous. She's got this kind of just mediating presence between the two, and both of them fall in love with her for that. And I just think that they're all pretty intelligent and interesting and a little bit funny as well. And so I just loved, I love that they kind of challenge sexuality and gender through that plot, that you don't even have to look hard in the text to find a lot of that kind of just fluid sexuality and stuff like that. So when I proposed it, I actually thought to do it in the 1950s. We often set a lot of our shows kind of period, because we have a repository of some like late 16th, early 17th century kind of gowns and poet shirts and stuff. But I thought, what better way to set Twelfth Night, which has all of this kind of confusion with gender and love and identity, than to set it in this era that we see so much domesticity and rigid roles. So I thought, what if Orsino is our James Dean, and Olivia is our Audrey Hepburn, and Viola is our question mark in between, that kind of softens them both and brings them both out of their kind of rigid shells. So that's what I thought. When we converted it over to Zoom, we still have elements. Our costumes are still 50s inspired. We'll have 50s inspired music, stuff like that. So I was able to maintain that, which I was happy about. But that's what I would thought. I've done this show a few times, and I know how strong it can be. I know the script well enough. I feel like I can cut it down. So I cut about 40% of the script. I sliced a lot of it out.
Well, how long does it end up being?
Oh, it's, I think, an hour and a half at the longest. Right. The only thing is, during rehearsals, we've only run it straight through once at our read through. Uh-huh. And then after that, we've just been running the different segments. So I think it's going to be a little longer than an hour, up to an hour and a half, but probably no longer. And I really cut even more when I knew we would be on Zoom, because I was like, oh, I don't want to sit through a 3-hour Shakespeare
show.
Right.
It makes a difference being on Zoom. Are you going to have an intermission or anything on Zoom, or is it just going to go straight through?
It's probably going to go straight through, but with some like transitions, and we'll premiere it. We're still figuring out exactly what we'll do, but the idea, we do have a YouTube channel with some of our shows that are recorded from the past few years, just live from the performances. And so we were thinking of maybe posting it there and then doing a premiere for it, and then people could go and pause and watch more of it later, any of that kind of thing. So that's basically that's been our general idea at the moment. I'm just trying to get everything, got all of the various scenes out of order on my computer that I'm trying to then put together. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I think there will be like a little, I'd like to indicate where I was going to put intermission and stuff like that.
Did you have any, are any scenes being done with actors in the same space, or is it all being done with them in their own?
We do actually, Nathan, if you want to talk about it, Nathan is our Sir Andrew. Okay. And his roommate in his house is Sir Toby. So we have a few bits.
That's nice to be able to do that. Yeah.
So. Yes. Yeah. That was, we had to take advantage of it with the two next to each other. And I had realized after we cast it, I was like, wait a minute, they live together.
Oh, that's great. You didn't know. Yeah.
Well, I knew, but I wasn't even thinking. I mean, yeah, it was pretty hard to cast in Zoom, just because it was so short of time sometimes. And we actually had a big turnout. We had over 30 people show up for Twelfth Night, which is more than I was expecting over Zoom.
Yeah, that's a great. So, how many people did you cast?
I think it's about 16. Okay. We actually have a lot of BFA students. What You Will tends to get people from all different disciplines. Because of the theater being the situation it is with COVID, some of the new BFA students and a few returning ones were able to do our production because they haven't been able to do their typical stage shows. Right. So it was kind of fun because we got a pretty big crop of people that I wasn't anticipating from a part of campus that sometimes we don't get too many people from due to overlap in conflicts and stuff. So that's fun. So it was hard to cast it, but it was also like, hey, we have so many new people. Like, let's get them involved. Let's see, even if it's just for this one semester or one year, that they can get that opportunity.
It's been fun to follow along on the What You Will Facebook page, which does a really good job of introducing actors that are going to be performing in these shows. And so I like to see like some of the diversity and backgrounds, like you were saying, a lot of them are not from theater. And it's just a really well done example, I think, for a company to highlight and kind of simultaneously promote themselves. So well done there, whoever is your social media guru, doing a great job. So Nathan, Midsummer Night's Dream, where are you at in your production and rehearsal stage?
So we'll probably start recording November 9th, which is 2 weeks from now, I think, which is daunting, but, and like 12th night, we're going to have a 2-week recording process. That way people's availability can be more normal and I don't have to ask for 8 hours every night to run a tech week. But everything's coming together really well. We're a lot further than I could have ever hoped at this point. And part of that comes from the fact that it was a re-proposal. And so there's a couple of recasts in the show. But everything's going really well. The Mechanicals, which is Midsummer's respective chaos crew, have come together really well. They've taken a group that's usually really heavily based on physicality, and you have to have people running around, and they're doing a play within a play, so like it usually helps to have people move, and they've completely adapted that to Zoom. So we're doing bits with people. I think there's a part where Quince mutes Bottom, so we're playing with Zoom as a medium a little bit. So
excellent.
When Bottom's doing his little monologue in the first scene, the Mechanicals come in. Aaron, who's playing Quince, I make her a co-host so she can just mute him.
So are you setting it in modern time or?
So originally the idea was going to be to put it in period dress, mm-hmm. but because it's logistically difficult to go to What You Will storage, especially when it's in another person's home during the COVID-19 pandemic we're in right now, we can't really go and get all of those and then take them and distribute them to everyone's individual like residence, because we don't have anyone who lives in the same place in Midsummer. I think we have one pair of people who are roommates, but they're not in any scenes together. And then go collect them all at the end of the process and bring them back. Instead of doing that, I'm talking with Sarah Peck, who is the company's costume makeup person, about how to sort of translate that into costumes that are easier for people to make out of their closets. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about changing the Mechanicals into sort of a more modern working class vibe, blue collar worker look, turning the fairies into sort of a cottagecore aesthetic so that they seem sort of out of place and out of like the time period. And then the lovers, something more formal, which is still to be determined.
So I, for people who are listeners who aren't familiar with Shakespeare, both of these plays are very good to start to kind of cut your teeth on Shakespeare. They're really easy to understand and nice ones to, and they're fun and mm-hmm. and they're comedies, which is kind of nice. So don't be, if you're not used to Shakespeare, don't be intimidated. These are really good ones to start with. And especially since they can watch it over Zoom, I think that's kind of a nice way to start if people haven't really seen much Shakespeare. How long is the Midsummer Night's Dream going to be?
I'm not certain yet. I haven't timed out all the scenes to know. I would guess probably around 2 hours, maybe a little more. If it gets to too much more than 2 hours, there'll almost definitely be a sort of mock intermission, so that way people don't have to sit and watch a 3 hour thing with no break and no spot to pause.
So, how long would a run of a show typically be if you were doing live performances? Do you just do one long weekend or do you do multiple weekends? How do you do it?
We usually do one with a few days. And it just depends on the location, the director, the cut of the script, what show it is. But usually it'll be like a Friday and a Saturday or something like that.
One thing I'm wondering about, are you able to play at all with the Zoom backgrounds to give yourself different set kind of like settings, or are you just having the blank space of people's rooms and such?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mix. Somebody in Twelfth Night, our Fabian, Sophia, she has a common room in her dorm that has a wall of records. And one day she came to rehearsal with that behind her. And I was like, I guess we know where you're recording. So sometimes we have stuff like that. We have mostly like blank or neutral, but then little like touches like that. Somebody has a Beatles poster already in their room. And I was like, just keep it up. Like whatever. It's vague 50s, vague 60s. I'm sure looks good. So stuff like that. And the other thing that we've added is that people look at each other over Zoom. And by that, I mean, like we're trying to break up both productions. We're trying to break up the we're on a conference call energy. And so we have the boxes kind of choreographed on the screen and people turn and don't face the camera all the time to make it look like they're looking at each other. So that's right. Something that we've also been playing with is like the space across the boxes alongside the space in the boxes.
So as directors, do you also become the kind of the technical editors also, or is there other people within the company that are helping with that kind of the splicing and the production part of it?
So one of my other roommates, Mike Skibsky, is on board, and he's sort of video and audio editing savvy, so I'll probably have him help me with that.
Yeah, I'm going to do a preliminary, like put all my scenes in the right place, make sure everything's good, and then reach out to Mike or our treasurer, Dylan, also has said that he's happy to help with stuff. My assistant director is Sarah, is our costumes chair, and they also were like, you know, I do editing for a podcast too, so I'm happy to help edit. So we got a good little circle of people that we can look to, thankfully, like already within the company with that skill set.
Is there a particular sort of software that you're putting this together in? I'm just kind of curious how you're building the Zoom segments.
I'm going to use iMovie most likely. We also, the campus has opened up the Adobe Creative Cloud for free during COVID to all students. Oh, wow. So I might look into using that. I have experience with non-video Adobe things with like Illustrator and Photoshop, but I might look into that as well. And again, my AD Sarah has experience with Adobe as well. So we'll see about our poster or something being done that way, or maybe some of our edits.
Right. Well, keep in touch with us. I know that you have a class to get to in like a minute. So we'll let you go. And thank you so much for being here with us. And let us know when we can promote the actual shows and when you're going to be live or what your links are and things like that.
Yeah, we're very excited for theater to be happening and impressed that the What You Will Shakespeare Company is doing it. The community theater groups in town have not mustered up the collective courage to try something yet, and so we have a lot of anticipation. So thank you for joining us on See You at the Show, and good luck with your productions.
Thank you.